Well, starting a new series today, I think the title kind of says it all. And wherever you are with God today, should be our response, is to follow Jesus. Now, the word follow means, in the dictionary definition, is to go after something or someone that is ahead of you. So it's someone out there in front of us that we're going after. It means to travel behind. Act according to someone's instructions. Conform to something. Pay close attention to. Keep track of. Maintain an awareness of. To practice something. And undertake a course of action. And that, again, that definition helps us. I'm not going to necessarily get into how to follow today. I just want to challenge you to wherever you're at, to follow Him, to make a deeper commitment to Jesus today. But this must be something you decide. No one can decide for you. And to make a decision to follow, it starts on the inside. And then that decision affects our habits, our attitudes, our behavior. And it affects this natural world. But it starts in here. And I can look around and there may be maybe indicators by what you say or what you do, but I can't really judge your heart. I have a tough enough time judging my own heart. But I can't judge your heart. I mean, you may be standing there and look all spiritual and all, you know, holy, worshiping God, but on the inside you may be sitting down. On the inside you may be away from God. And that's between you and Him. I don't know. But I want to encourage you, wherever you're at, to follow Jesus, to follow Him. So let's start with some verses in Matthew chapter 4. Encourage you in 2016, maybe we need to start bringing our Bibles back to church. I think sometimes when we have our phones and our iPads, I think we're reading the Bible less. And so maybe we need to pull the dust off the hard copy and start bringing it back to church and maybe get the notebook back out and start, you know, looking at things, writing in our Bibles, underlining things. But Matthew 4, verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he," this is Jesus, "said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." I just find this so interesting that Jesus comes up to people and says, "Follow me." How bold is that? When's the last time you went to somebody and said, "Hey, come on, follow me"? You know, and maybe if you're traveling somewhere or doing something, or, you know, I can see it there. But as to say to someone, "Follow me, follow my life, follow my teachings, follow my example." That's pretty amazing. But there's, you know, again, in the Greek language, it's a very rich language. And we may say the word follow, and we have our definition of it, but in the Greek, and if you look in the New Testament, there may be 6 or 7 Greek words for the word follow. And they may have all, you know, similar meanings, but there's a reason why they use a particular word in a particular sentence. And so to someone that, you know, knows Greek, when they hear that word, they have a deeper meaning of what's being said. Does that make sense? And so this word follow means basically come with me. It's an invitation to come with me. Come on an adventure. And you know, it is really not much deeper than that. I'm going somewhere. God's using me. God's got a plan for my life. I want you to be a part of that. Come with me. And if you follow me, I'll make you something. He said, "I'll make you a fisher of men." He's basically saying to them, I'll take care of you. I've got an amazing inheritance. I've got a plan for you. And this would be similar to the day that we gave our life to Jesus. Who remembers that day? I remember that day, August of 1982, I gave my life to Christ. And you probably have your testimony. And I love hearing people's testimonies. Sometimes it was younger. Sometimes they're older. All different ages. But I remember exactly where I was and the decision that I made to follow Jesus. But you know, at that time, when I was 19, I didn't really know what I was signing up for. I had no idea about that one day I'd be living in Augusta, Georgia. I had no idea I'd be pastoring Good News Church. I had no idea I'd be married to Susie and have the kids that I do. I'd have no idea that, you know, going to particular nations. I had no idea about the I Give Life course or, you know, or Carissa or any of these different things. And so that particular day, I want to say my motives were selfish because it was really, I had cares. I was at a dark place in my life. I needed a change. I had the burden of sin in my life. I made a lot of mistakes. I was looking for a fresh start. I was looking for a new way. I knew about God, but I didn't know Jesus personally. So I heard the gospel. I heard the benefits. I heard about going to heaven when I die. I heard about the abundant life in Christ. I heard about my inheritance. And I made a decision. I heard about the forgiveness of sins. All my sins just wiped away. And I made a decision that day to follow Him. Even I didn't really even know all that I was signing up for. But I chose that day to follow Christ. And so that may be you today. Maybe you're here today and you haven't made that decision. Maybe you've heard of God, about God. Maybe you believe in God, but you haven't given your life to Christ. And if you haven't, you're in the right place at the right time. Today is your day. And we'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service to do that. But then there came another point in my life when I was asked to follow, and it was a deeper commitment. Let's look at Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. It says, He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Me talking, this is Jesus. This is in red in your Bible. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, those are pretty tough words. I mean, even if you haven't studied it, I mean, just reading that, I mean, how many know that doesn't seem like an easy thing there? That seems a little more complicated and a little deeper than follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Does everybody agree with that? You're talking about picking up crosses? And losing your life for His sake. I mean, all of that. I mean, this is a little deeper thing. And so if you look at the word follow here, you'll see that it's a deeper word than the previous word that I read in the Greek. This word means to follow me and be saved. That goes along with the first one. Follow me to salvation. But it means to follow Him and hear what He says. So to follow Him and listen to His words, listen to His sayings, to listen to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So we're following a way. We're following His truth, not the world's truth, God's truth. But then it also means to be intimate with me. In which that is an amazing concept because under the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, there was nothing about being intimate with God. There was just a fear of God. You don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. You don't go into His presence. And if you don't do it according to procedure, you're dead. And only a few people, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, the prophet, the priest, the king, And for specific, not all the time, just for specific situations. So the concept of God being in you was foreign to the average person. So to say, when Jesus is talking about being intimate with God, that's a radical thing. Jesus was so radical, he called God Father. And you know, that's one of the reasons why they killed him. For him to have the audacity to say such a thing, that God is my Father. It was radical. Radical sayings. Radical things. But then the last part of this word follow is, it means to let go of your plans and to take on God's plans. So you can see why, you know, you talk about picking up your cross daily. What is your cross? Well, the cross is several things. It's the cause of Christ. It's the Great Commission. What's the Great Commission? Boiling it down in a nutshell is making disciples, followers of Jesus, and reaching people that don't know Jesus with the gospel. So it's taking ownership of that. But then it's saying, Lord, wherever you will lead me, I will go. And I remember really the first time this happened to me in my life. Like I said, I was saved in August of 1982. Well, I was when I went back to school that year, I went to St. Cloud State University in Minnesota. And I was involved in a ministry called Campus Crusade for Christ. I think right now it's called CRU. And it's college ministry, you know, all throughout the world. And our campus had a thriving Campus Crusade group, and I was a part of that. Well, they had what they called a Christmas conference every year. And young people from Minnesota, Iowa, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin would come to St. Paul and have a conference together to close out their year and get prepared for the next year. And so, you know, being new to all this, I decided I was going to go. They talked about witnessing and sharing the gospel. We went out in the streets of St. Paul and shared the gospel with people in freezing cold weather. I get extra stars for that in my file. But on the last night of the conference, Bill Bright was there. Now, Bill Bright, if you've never heard of him, you need to Google him and look him up, was an amazing man. And he's the one that founded and started Campus Crusade for Christ. And he had a vision to reach young people all over the world. And ultimately, through the Jesus film and other things, I mean, they've impacted millions of lives. So he was there in person. And so he got up to speak, and he was just sharing the vision of Campus Crusade for Christ and talked about being a follower of Jesus and being a disciple and what that meant. And he talked about commitment, and he talked about counting the cost. And it came down to the end of the service, and Bill Bright got down on his knees in this big ballroom. And we all got down on our knees, and it was just prayer, and just God's Spirit was there. I'd never been in anything like that before. And we're just calling out to God and you know, consecrating ourselves to God. And that particular night, I responded to picking up my cross. I said, Lord, I take responsibility for the Great Commission. I'm going to do my part. Not, you know, the prayer that Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. That's the first time that I prayed that. And it was an amazing, powerful night. I can see it in my mind like I'm there right now. But it's so interesting, from that moment, the next summer I went to San Diego with Campus Crusade for 2 months on a missions project. The following summer I went to Panama for 2 months. I went from Panama to Oral Roberts University. You heard a little bit about that last week. And so that decision to follow, I chose to follow, had ramifications, because when I did that, then he asked me to do things. So So you may be here today. Maybe you've been a believer for a short time, maybe for even a long time, but maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never made a decision. I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to be a learner. I'm going to take ownership of the Great Commission. I'm going to do my part. And then, Lord, wherever you want me to go and whatever you want me to do, I will do it. It's a big decision. And it's, again, something you have to decide to do in your heart. Now let's look over in John 21. John chapter 21. It's okay today? Believe the Lord's speaking to you. Meeting you right where you're at. You just open your heart to Him. Don't be afraid. He never takes from you. He always adds to you. He doesn't curse you. He blesses you. He's a loving, caring Father. And whatever He asks you to do, you're not going to be by yourself. You're not going to be alone. He'll empower you. He gives you His Spirit. He'll talk to you. So don't be afraid. John 21. And this is after Jesus has died. He's been raised from the dead. The disciples have gone fishing, of course. Back to the old ways and what they felt comfortable with. And of course, Jesus is about to speak to Peter. And you know the whole story about Peter. Peter said, told Jesus, I would never deny you. And we know the story. He ends up denying Him 3 times. I mean, in front of kids, women. What kind of man denies his master, someone he's walked with all this time, all that he's seen, all that he's been through, and he denies Christ, not once, but 3 times. So Jesus comes along, and he's walking along the shore, and they're out fishing. And, you know the whole kind of scenario, Jesus says, you know, cast the net over on that side of the boat. They have another big catch of fish. It says they caught 153 fish. Peter recognizes Jesus, and I love Peter. He just jumps over the side of the boat and, you know, heads to the shore. Don't you love that? And so this is the encounter that Jesus has with Peter after they have breakfast. John 21, verse 15. And so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to them, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Same word that I used previously. Follow me. Now, there's a couple aspects to this that I want to talk about Peter here. The first one is I love this fact that Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And I love the fact that Jesus came to him personally and talked to him and ministered to him and said to him, "Do you love me?" And notice he said it 3 times. I just love the graciousness, the kindness, the care of God, and how He cares about even the little things. How do you think Peter was feeling? How do you think he felt about it? Don't you think he felt ashamed? Ashamed, guilty, condemned. And you know the enemy's there. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And anything like that, you ever had that, things that you've done in your past, even now, maybe years ago, he'll come and try to still torment you with it. Things that happened years ago, he still tries to torment you with it. He's mean. And so here, I just want to say, maybe you're here today and maybe you missed it. Don't raise your hand. Maybe you're here today and you made some mistakes. I can't tell you how many times people have said to me, I think I've committed the unpardonable sin. Seriously, a lot of times over the years. Like they've done something that they can't be forgiven for. I mean, Nate, a lot of times with people. And if you don't feel you can be forgiven, you're not going to approach God. But you know, the thing about it is every one of us, and we can look so great and act so great, but every one of us has messed up. Every one of us has messed up big time. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've messed up big time. You've messed up big time, brother. I mean, this whole section over here, I don't even know how you're even functioning. And you over here, oh my goodness. This section over here shouldn't even be in church. I'm not even going to mention them over there. But you may be sitting here away from God, having missed it, and feeling like there's no redemption, there's no hope, there's no forgiveness. But I just want to tell you, that's all a lie of the enemy. And you need to go read Luke 15 and read about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he's the guy that asked for his inheritance before the father died. What an insult. I mean, that's just like going up to his dad and just slapping him in the face and saying, give me my stuff, you're dead to me. That's what he did. That's what he said to him. Took his inheritance and left. Basically say, I'm not coming back. I don't want anything to do with you, any part of you. You are dead to me. And so then he leaves, and of course, you know, he, you know, took his lottery money and squandered it. I was saying to Susie that for most people, winning the lottery is not a blessing. So if you do win, come talk to me. I've come and dealt with people that have come into a lot of funds. Very few of them have done well with it. Very few. It's really, really sad. You think it would be a blessing. Anyway, we'll move on. But anyway, so he squanders it all on, what was it, Nate? Coke and hookers? Nate got a revelation of the coke part. I don't know if that's in there, but Nate's hearing from God, man. That's a good way to start off your year. Come to Good News Church. So he's finally eating the slop of pigs, or not even eating that. And the Bible says he comes to himself. And he says, in my father's house, even the servants live at a certain level, and I'll just go back and I'll be a servant. And so he works it all up, you know, and heads back home. And you know the story about the father sitting out there waiting for him, and runs to him and hugs him and loves on him. And so he's going to start pleading his case, you know, let me be a servant. I mean, this is the way we're going to repent, and we're going to go through all of this and tell about our sins, and just let me be a servant, and, you know, ready to get blasted by the father, and, you know, you're going to be living in the barn and all of that. The Father, He doesn't hear anything. He doesn't hear any of that. He doesn't want to hear it. Put a robe on His back, a ring on His finger, sandals on His feet. Let's kill a calf. Let's have a party. That's what God does. I mean, come on. So for you to hear today that are outside the kingdom, you feel you're outside, you know, away from God, why don't you just come on back today? Why don't you come on back and get in on the party? Because that's what God wants to do in your life today. He'll meet you right where you're at with love and compassion and help you get right on track. I've seen people even recently that have done the stupidest. Say stupid. I mean, some of the stupidest things. And they just decide to get back on track and God's using them. It makes no sense. It doesn't even seem fair. But that's how good our God is. That's how kind and gracious and loving. And so I'll say to you today, don't run from Jesus. Run to Him. The devil, and say to the devil, liar, liar, pants on fire. Liar, liar, whole body on fire. Forever. All right, the other part of this story with Peter. So I would just say to those that feel like they're away from God today, for whatever reason, choose to follow Him today. And you'll meet His grace and love today. But then the other part is, Peter is called to be an apostle, one of the apostles. So he knows he's got that calling. And so Jesus, as He's talking to him, He's saying to him, feed My lambs, which is My little ones. Tend My sheep, which is pastoral. Feed My sheep, which is, you know, disciple, mentor, give the word, teach, train. So He's calling Peter to a level of leadership, even among the apostles right here. He's calling him to a higher calling. And for anybody that's following God and following Jesus, and I think there's many people in this room right now, I believe God's calling you to a higher place. I believe God's got another assignment for you or assignments. Doesn't mean you're going to quit your job and go to Africa, but I think He's got more for you. And so I would just say to you, choose to follow Him. Don't be afraid. He's not going to leave you on your own. If He's leading you, obviously you're prepared. And I have had all kinds of situations like this in my life. I've had it last year. Even now, as I'm going into 2016, I'm dealing with this. He's calling me to certain things. And there's that fear. Am I up to it? I'm comfortable. Do I really want to stir things up? Things are going well right now. You know, all these different reasons. But I've learned to say yes to Him. I've learned to follow Him. Even if I'm, resistant at first, I know in my heart, I start confessing the word. And we'll get into this later in the series, but I just, spending time in prayer. And then I'm talking to myself and I'm saying those words, not my will, but Your will be done. Praying those dangerous prayers. Here I am, Lord, send me. I remember, back when I was attending this particular church. It wasn't Good News Church, but years ago, and it was the beginning of 1995, and the Lord led us to, was it 95 we started coming, or 94? Yeah, 93, okay. And the Lord asked me to start serving on the Ministry of Helps. I did that. Asked me to, or us, to start teaching a class. We did that. Asked us to start a Bible study. We did that. Eventually, it led to one particular night in May of 95, or was it May that tempted me? June? That's why I got Susie here. She's got all the dates. We had been doing this tent meeting with a guy named David Horton, an evangelist. And we went the first week, and, you know, great meetings, but then the tent blew down. It was over on, was it Gordon Highway? Yeah, Gordon Highway. So the tent blows down. And so David is not going to be running out of town, so when the tent blows down, that means we're going to go another week. So he goes another week and calls Susie and says, you know anybody that can lead the prayer room, you know, for the altar ministry? And for whatever reason, she recommends my name. I say, I'll do it. You know, I'm driving 50 minutes from Johnston, South Carolina, to come to the meetings every night. And I'm there and leading the prayer room and, you know, getting people filled with the Holy Spirit, getting people saved, praying with people. And the last night of the tent meeting, the evangelist comes up to me and or came back there, saw me doing what I was doing. And so then he asked us out to eat. And we went to Fridays on Washington Road. And so we're sitting there, and the moment we sat down, David just kind of starts pressing me. He's saying, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about the calling? What are you going to do about what God's saying to you? And this is not like something I'm just all of a sudden just happens, but I, you know, it's something God's been dealing with us about. And finally, at the end of that meeting, I lift my hands. This is about 2 o'clock in the morning. I lift them for the last people there, and I just say, I'll do it, I'll do it, I'll do a church. And here we are today, 20 years later, over 20 years later. Had to make a decision for a higher calling, for a higher thing, about impacting more people, about reaching. See, it's not about us. And God's always leading us to impact more people. And to be more fruitful. But I had to make that decision. And again, a lot of obstacles to overcome, a lot of fear involved. How do I do this? How do I get ordained? What about the money? All, you know, what about what I'm doing now? What about my family? I mean, all those different decisions. But I have been training myself at that time to follow Him, to choose to follow Him. So today, I believe, again, there's many here. You know God's leading you to new places. You know He's opening doors. I encourage you to say yes. I encourage you to choose to follow Him. Now, there are costs involved. Everything's not perfect. There is a devil. He's going to fight it. There are people. Whenever you're doing something for God, there's people involved. Wouldn't that be fun if we could just have just a ministry all to ourselves and didn't involve other people? Well, I've got the intercessory prayer ministry. I'm just going to pray. Well, that's good, but that's not all that God has for you. Because anything that God gives you, any calling God gives you, involves other people. Happy to be here today. Everybody excited? Last part. Let's look at John 21, verse 20. John 21, verse 20. Turning his head, Peter knows the disciple Jesus loved, following right behind. You know who that is? That's John. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, Master, what's going to happen to him? Jesus said, if you want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me. This right here is for those out there that might be distracted. Do you want to raise your hand? No, raise your hand on that one. Who's distracted out there? I've been reading this lately, but let's read it one more time. Mark 4, verse 19. You love Mark 4, verse 19. Come on now. Mark 4, verse 19. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age. I can't think of a time that the church has been more distracted than right now since I've been saved over 30 years. Just so many distractions. And it's a national trend in the U.S. especially. People are not going to church. Every denomination, every kind of church. If they used to go 8 times in a month, now they go 4. If they used to go 4 times, now they go 2. If they used to go 2, they go once. If they went once, they don't go at all. And it is an epidemic in the church. And the church is struggling to figure out what the answer is. And we're trying every kind of gimmick. From smoke, we haven't tried Coke yet, but smoke machines to coffee, stimulants, food, money, give you an iPad. I mean, I don't know. We're trying everything to get people to come back to church. And that is a sign of people's hearts. But the cares and anxieties of the world, distractions of the age, the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. And if anybody has to deal with that, it's Americans. And the craving and passion, desires for other things. Well, I don't have time for church. I don't really have time for that Bible study he's leading me to do. I don't have time to serve. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that because it's about me. See, Jesus, I'll get my house in order. And when I get my house in order, then I'll come follow you. But see, it doesn't work that way. It's not how it works. You want all the blessings and all the things that come with being a disciple, but yet you don't want to follow. Look what happens. The craving and passion, desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. You've got to, as we begin this year, you've got to look at your life and say, am I bearing any fruit for the kingdom? Now, I can't do that for you, and I'm not going to, you know, jump all over on your case, but you got to look in the mirror and have an honest talk, and have an honest talk with someone else. Am I doing anything to bear fruit for the kingdom? And if I'm not, maybe Mark 4, verse 19 is about you instead of you pointing your finger at the other guy and saying, what about them? That's what Jesus did. What about John? And we love to do that, but how many of us want to look ourselves in the mirror and be honest? And I don't want my glory days to be 20 years ago. Amen. I don't want my glory days to be even a year ago. I want my relationship with God to be fresh, testimonies fresh. And I'm believing this is you. And those sown on good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive it and accept it, welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much, some 60 times as much, some even 100 times as much. Verse 19 and verse 20, the people are going through the same thing. It's not like the people in verse 20 are kind of just like floating through life and everything's just working for them. No, it's the same devil. Same things, but they just choose to follow Jesus and to do it God's way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amplified says, and his way of doing things. Then all these things the Gentiles seek after will be yours besides. How you doing? Am I doing okay? I pray I'm not beating you up. I pray I'm not condemning anybody. Just put the word out there. I love you. I'm for you. I know God's got amazing things for you. I just know something's happening right now. I know that. I want all of us to be together in this. Tremendous doors are opening. God's got a part for all of us. So if you fit any of these categories, you don't know Jesus, you haven't accepted the calling to be a disciple, maybe you've missed it, maybe you've made mistakes, join the club. The Mystic Club. Maybe he's calling you to a new assignment today. Something bigger is coming. Or maybe you're here today and you've gotten off track. Whatever the reasons, a lot of reasons. Don't blame me if you have. I understand it. But if you're in any one of those things, the answer to any of these situations is to follow Jesus. Let's follow him together. As we get into this series, we're going to talk about how. But let's stir each other up. Let's stir each other up. Stir yourself up. Every head bowed, every eye closed here today. And I just want to give this invitation for this first one. Because I said I would. If you're here today and you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but you've never given your heart to him. Romans 10 says, if you believe in your heart God raised Jesus from the dead and confess him as your Lord, you'll be saved. I want to give you the opportunity not just to know about God, but to know Jesus personally. I will pray with you and get you on that journey, on that track that he has for you. And yes, it involves when you die, you're going to heaven, but he's got an abundant life, an inheritance for you. Give you power, give you authority. He'll fill you with his spirit. You could have an intimate relationship with him. And then he's going to start showing you the plan that he's got for your life. If you're here today and you say, yes, Pastor, pray with me. I want to start my year off knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to make him my Lord. I want the slate wiped clean. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want to be in God's family as a son and daughter. If that's you, lift your hand. I see one hand here. I see two hands here. Who else? Another hand over here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can look up here. Let's stand, everybody. For those that raised your hand, I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to pray a prayer with you right now, but I want you to come and talk to our prayer partners after the service today and share with what's happened with you. And they're going to talk to you further about that, what that means. But let's all of us pray this prayer together, especially those that raise their hand. Say this, Father in heaven, you are so kind, so gracious, so loving that you sent your son Jesus to live and to die for me, to be raised on the third day. I believe in the resurrection. I confess Jesus as my Lord. I receive the forgiveness of sins. Heaven is my home. The abundant life is mine. In Jesus' name. And now, Father, show me your plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen.